What do you do with a werewolf? If you're hearing a werewolf in the woods, I mean, I imagine you're not going to be quite as calm as that.
Well, it depends on the circumstances. There's actually the werewolf legends. This is another of the ones where the media has just spoiled the actual traditions and turned them in. I mean, you have Lon Chaney having the ultimate bad hair day,
right?
Basically, okay, that's not what's actually going on. If you look at traditional werewolf lore, you'll find that what's happening is that while this person is running around in wolf form, their human body is lying comatose under a bush or at home in bed or something like that.
Hmm.
Okay.
So this isn't a shapeshifter in that sense.
It's not. I don't. As far as I know, physical shapeshifting is impossible. I mean, when you think of what would be involved in actually causing the cellular structure of a body to change that drastically,
right?
It seems very unlikely to me, but the old lore has it that it's actually a form of astral projection.
Huh.
That these people are projecting themselves in an animal form, what's called an animal body of transformation in one of the systems of magic that I've been trained in. And under certain circumstances, for example, when the moon is full and so the etheric tides, we're back to etheric energy again, when the etheric tides are strongest, those bodies of transformation can be on the edge of the material. They can be solid enough that they seem to have physical presence, that they leave tracks. You can still disrupt them by anything that will really fry out an etheric pattern. Highly conductive metals like silver, for example. But it's not quite physical, and it can do things that a physical wolf, or for that matter, a physical human, can't do.
Well, go back to that metal thing for just a second. Uh-huh. Explain what you mean by that.
Okay. Etheric energy is a lot like electricity in some ways. Like electricity, it can be conducted or discharged by metals. If you copper, wire, it will take electricity from point A to point B. If you've got something with a high static charge, a high static electricity charge, you put some conductive metal in, you're going to get zapped. Okay?
So you would use that how, then, to protect yourself?
Let's imagine somebody was doing the werewolf thing and was actually trying to assault you. I actually have a walking stick with a silver tip on the top end. Okay? You jam that into the center of the etheric body. Okay? That metal causes the etheric energy to basically short out.
Hmm.
Now, this is something only to do in an extreme situation because what magicians call repercussion can occur. If somebody's astrally projecting, or actually etherically projecting, which is what's going on here, where there's more than just consciousness floating around, there's actually this body of life force that's been gathered together that their consciousness is inhabiting.
It's kind of like a Patronus in Harry Potter?
Yeah, except you're in it.
Except you're in it. It's not something that's... But I would think the Patronus somehow represented your spirit in some way.
In a certain sense. But yeah, okay. It's as though you had made this astral body of a wolf and put some of your own life energy into it. And then you put your consciousness into that astral body and go trotting out and baying at the moon. Okay? If somebody takes a silver tip walking stick and jams it into this, that life energy in there shorts out.
Hmm.
Okay, they may find your dead body lying someplace in the morning. So it's not risk-free.
I ask that because I just happened to hear earlier this week one of the companies that makes hiking gear, North Face, I think it is, but somebody had come up with this new underwear. Hang on. Where they are claiming that it's deodorizing underwear. It will stay for hikers who plan on being out in the woods for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It will remain odor free even despite days and days of constant wear.
Mm-hmm.
Because it has metallic fibers.
It has metallic fibers
that
is
woven into it. I thought that'd be like an anti-werewolf underwear too. At the same time, you can, it's like your Plan B protection.
Thank you. I like that. I'm not entirely sure that would be healthy to wear over the long term because you're, again, that metal is going to be shorting out some of your life energy.
Hmm. I never thought of it as a chi thing, but I can see that
it's
as being
a chi thing. It can definitely be a chi thing.
All right, so have you ever seen a werewolf?
I've never seen a werewolf. I know people who are in contact with some of the Native American shapeshifting traditions, but it's something that's done very privately.
Right.
It's something that's done typically on the res, and they don't usually talk about it much to whites.
Are werewolves, as you understand them, as malevolent as vampires?
No. Most people shape-shifting of this sort, they've got their own business, and it's not yours, and it's not you.
So they don't eat humans. They don't attack humans.
One of the things you've got to remember is that almost all of our monster folklore has been profoundly influenced by the Christian paranoia about other religions. Shapeshifting in medieval Europe was probably part of some of the old surviving shamanistic traditions. And of course, you know, those had to be stamped out. Great way to stamp it out is say, you know, they eat children. It's like,
right.
You know, people, so many of the fundamentalists talking about magic these days, assuming that it's all about devil worship and murdering babies and having, you know, having sex with anything warm and all the things that they probably do with all of their own fantasies they're projecting onto.
Well, keep in mind, though, too, and I think this is fair to consider, at least I hope, that the idea of who took the lives of the innocent is something which humans have been struggling with for thousands of years, and it is part of actually the Judeo-Christian tradition from a long time back, is to try to understand, just as you mentioned last hour, you know, when a death is unexplained, what could have been the cause? And so there are little things that have been going on, not so much focused on invalidating other faith traditions as much as just trying to understand the incomprehensible that anybody would be going through at a time like that.
That's a factor, yes. But there is also the factor that certain religious traditions have an obsession with invalidating others.
Oh, fair enough. Mm-hmm. All right, well then, what about mermaids? That sort of thing, I would never have thought I would have put mermaids under the category of monsters, but you've explained that a little bit.
They're entities that that current scientific ideology says can't possibly exist, and yet people see them. That was the biggest surprise when I was researching this book. I'd categorized mermaids off with unicorns and the, you know, literary creations and so on. But if you actually go into the records and start looking around, people have been seeing these things, reporting them in ships' logs.
Right.
There's a huge amount of information, primarily from the North Atlantic. There's some sightings in the North Pacific. There was one out not far from Vancouver, BC. In the 1950s.
Well, what does Druidism say about mermaids?
Mermaids? Nothing that I know of.
Nothing, okay. So it's not part of a larger corpus
beings. Some people in the Druid tradition would assign mermaids to the same general class of beings as fairies, creatures of fairy. But really, as I commented in the in my chapter on this, we simply don't know a lot about this. This is one of those really puzzling ones where all we know is that people see these things. Mm-hmm. And there are here's the folklore, here's what we know. If you happen to see one, use the opportunity to get whatever information you can, because this is a mystery.
Right.
It happens, we don't know why.